Hello and welcome to Heart Yoga Radio. We're having a walk off in the Welsh Hills again today. And this is part three of our misleading slogans series. So today we're just going to tackle a really simple one. Leave means leave. Which is one of the things that you hear the people who are determined, do or die, to have the extremely damaging no deal Brexit as one of the things that they trot out. So we just thought we'd just take that one apart today. So what are the problems with this slogan?
Number one,
it's totally meaningless.
It's totally meaningless. In philosophy we call this kind of thing a tautology. That's when you make an equation but you've got identical terms on both sides. Basically it's like naught equals naught, so it says nothing. And if it's about the world, if you've got like a statement that purports to be about the world, it's meaningless.
Tautology is a meaningless statement.
Tautology is a meaningless statement, and it's meaningless because it takes the form naught equals naught. So it doesn't, by meaningless, I mean it doesn't add anything to our knowledge. So leave means leave, doesn't say anything. Now you can see what they're trying to get at.
Yeah.
With it, but actually, all you know, they're trying to be clever. And actually, anybody with a little tiny bit of knowledge about such matters as logic and truth and things like that is going to go off. Well, fuck me, it says nothing. It says nothing. But I mean, there's an implication in there, and the implication is that there is just one meaning and one only that belongs to the term Brexit or the term leave. And there's just one only meaning. And you can see they're trying to assert that by being clever, but end up saying nothing. If they were going to put the proposition that they're trying to make, just very plainly, instead of trying to be clever and rhetorical and sloganeering, they're saying there is only one meaning to the term Brexit. It only signifies one set of conditions and events. And, of course, if they said it like that, it's pretty obvious that it's bollocks. But leave means leave actually disguises the point that they're trying to make. And, in fact, if they made the point plainly, as I said, it would just be pretty obvious to almost anybody that it's nonsense, because there's obviously more than one version of Brexit. There's more than one way of going about it.
Yeah.
There's more than one set of conditions that would apply to the relationship between the UK and the EU once the UK has formally withdrawn and is no longer a signatory of all the various treaties. That is what, I mean, actually, you know, what EU membership is being a signatory to a set of treaties.
Yeah, so how can leave mean leave when, you know, leave could mean anything?
Well, one can withdraw the treaties, but then one can withdraw from the treaties, but then there is going to be some kind of relationship with the EU. And it's a, well, okay, I mean, in some kind of like fantasy world, it could be absolutely zero. Build a wall. You know, have no communication with Europe whatsoever. Import nothing, export nothing. Don't speak to them. Barbed wire around Fortress Britain, you know. And I'm sure, you know, leave means leave. It's perhaps meant to imply that kind of thing. But the reality is, you know, the UK does an enormous amount of trade with the EU. So it earns its trading income by trading with the EU. But it also imports necessities of life. Now, if you look at Operation Yellowhammer, which the government was forced to release, even though it released it in redacted and slightly fraudulent form, which outlines what the problems might be with a no-deal Brexit, according to the government and the government's experts. You'll see that there's a huge number of necessities of life that come from the EU. And there's going to be a problem if there's no arrangements to continue with the smooth import and export of necessities of life.
Yeah, let's just make this totally clear. Not luxuries here. Necessities of life.
Well, medicines and
food.
Medicines and food, you know. So anyway, the point, just sticking to our point of our task of deconstructing leave means leave, it's immediately apparent that there's a whole range of possibilities post leaving the treaty, the various treaties that govern the current UK membership of the EU. And that was the whole point of a withdrawal agreement, was to smooth the path, to give a gradual transition, so there wouldn't be any sudden shocks, and to mitigate the effect on the economy of the UK, and incidentally of Ireland, which we didn't hear very much about during the campaign.
And that was kept very quiet, because it's going to be awful for them.
Yeah, it's going to hit them quite hard. And of course the one of the big sticking points is the whole matter of Northern Ireland. That just simply leaving the treaties will leave a hard border on the island of Ireland between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic. And currently there's a very soft border. And the reason for that is the treaty, the international treaty known as the Good Friday Agreement, put that in place. So putting a hard border on the island of Ireland is going to create a breach of treaty, breach of an international treaty on the part of the UK government. And this has caused a lot of trouble. Maybe it's a problem that can't be solved. I don't know. There was some thought that it could be solved with technology, but it's a bit of a way off, if so. So there's the matter. I mean, it's a very pressing matter of quite what arrangements are going to apply about the border on the island of Ireland. Yeah. And the backstop, the sticking point, the backstop. The idea of that was that, well, Northern Ireland, for all intents and purposes, remain in the EU, so that the border could stay open, being the customs union and the single market. To avoid this breach of treaty of placing a hard border on the island of Ireland. And because the DUP don't like that, because they fetishise like nobody's business and are willing to spill their blood and other people's blood for the Northern Ireland to remain a part of the United Kingdom. That's what they are. They're unionists. That's why they're called the Democratic Unionist Party. They are dogmatic to the extent that, you know, in the past, this kind of faction in Irish politics has been quite happy to spill blood over the matter of the union, as it's called. So they don't like a backstop, because it means that Northern Ireland's sovereignty, in effect, is still under the European Union and not under Westminster, not under the Crown. I mean, technically it is, but in effect, an open border and a backstop with no time limit on it. You say they couldn't, how do you put a time limit on it? There's no time limit on it. Europe won't accept a time limit on this. Well, maybe they might when push comes to shove. But they're not gonna not protect Ireland, the Republic of Ireland, by being willing to withdraw the backstop altogether. So, big sticking point is over that. So there's obviously a variety of arrangements that could be put in place to sort that out, even though it's obviously very difficult. And there's been some various bright ideas. But of course, each one of those would be like, you know, a Brexit condition of a different character.
Yeah.
Now, of course, the Labour Party thought, well, at least initially, we've got to go along with the referendum. You know, otherwise there's going to be political hell to pay. Even though, to my mind, you know, the referendum was illegal, and it was and stupid, you know.
Well, this is the main point I wanted to make here is the fact that leave means leave. Well, the vote to leave itself was just meaningless anyway, because
nobody knew anything.
How can you vote on something where what you're voting on is decided after the vote?
Yeah. I mean, I think the whole of Parliament slipped up on that, left and right, both sides of the dispatch box. They're cocked up by invoking Article 50, you know, in other words, setting into motion the leave mechanism within a certain agreed time frame. And they did it too quickly. They should have had a three-month period or something of that order, of kind of figuring out what the options were, and then invoked it, or maybe advised the country to think again as our elected representatives. But they rushed to invoke it, and it went through with a majority, you know, a good majority through the Commons. And I think they did it just to show that they were Democrats, and they were going to obey the referendum, the advisory referendum.
So maybe it's like if somebody says leave means leave to you, you can ask them, well, what kind of leave were you voting for? Because anyone who says that believes that there's just one kind of Brexit and that's it.
Yeah.
Well, and basically everyone just voted for their own imaginary idea of what Brexit they were voting for.
The public was extraordinarily uninformed.
Yeah.
I've been trying to inform myself exactly what EU membership and leaving the EU means, what the various treaties are, what the detail of them is, what a WTO scenario is, what the WTO is, what treaties govern that.
World Trade Organization. How trade
deals go through, etc, etc. I'm a quick study still, even though I'm an oldie. I'm a quick study.
Yeah.
I'm highly trained to study. And I haven't got it all at my fingertips.
Yeah.
After three years.
It's surprising that people don't know what the hell they're voting for, because it is really complicated. I was talking to someone and I was saying, well, you know, what about the trade agreements and the food shortages? And he just said, oh, blasé, oh, we'll get new trade agreements. Like, it was just kind of like piss easy. In fact, it takes about at least 28 months on average.
Yeah.
For a country to agree with another country about what trade agreements they're going to have.
Can we
go that long without food?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Well, there'll still be, but there'll be all the kind of stuff about tariffs.
And there'll be Mars bars.
There'll be tariffs and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And there'll be a shake-up that'll put some people out of business.
I mean, even having any understanding about this, what trade agreements are, is actually incredibly complicated, more than I thought it would be.
Yeah, well, what I did, I kind of read and watched Michael Dugan, who's a professor of European law at Liverpool. He's a completely geeky about European law and treaties and trade, completely geeky. Spent his whole life studying. He's an extremely smart bloke, and he was kind of shaking his head saying, do they know what a trade agreement's like, you know?
Nope.
Because they're kind of very nitty-gritty things. They go right the way down to the minute detail of thousands of products. The Canadian one that they did with the EU, I think that took 10 years. And Russia did one. I think they did one, actually, like kind of a WTO sort of big thing. 18 years took them.
Wow.
Because you need experts to agree them. You can't just get some kind of like junior civil service to go and do it. You know, get the intern to go and do his trade agreement. Don't work. And Michael Dugan would say, well, how many do you think they've got in the Foreign and Commonwealth Office, you know, or whatever it is, or Department of Trade or whatever? And they've got like half a dozen, you know, of these blokes. And you need like 50. And they're highly trained, so you were in the shit straight away. And I was thinking, well, you know, the idea that you'll just kind of blithely get sorted out trade-wise.
Yeah.
without quite a long period of chaos. It just seems to me to make no sense. And I know Rhys Mogg and Nigel Farage say, oh, I've been trading and it'll be really easy. I don't know what they're talking about. I think they're economic illiterates. Oh, they're economically literate enough to know how to do the hedge fund.
Or they're cash, just playing out lying. Yeah. There's that, you know.
You get the hedge fund thing of cashing in on instability. Like good traders love volatility. The truth is they love it. Okay. Now, just to reiterate the point, there are lots of versions of what the Brexit condition will be. Yeah. Now, there's only one leaving of the treaties. We just leave all the treaties. But there can be a withdrawal agreement which softens the transition, and that could take many, many forms. Now, Mrs. May's agreement, which failed to get through the Commons three times, was an attempt at something like that. The Commons wouldn't agree on it for a variety of reasons. Obviously, the DUP didn't like the Northern Ireland backstop, which I've explained, because of their fetishisation of sovereignty. And whereas it was too hard for the left in Parliament, in as much as there are ambiguities around workers' protections and environmental protection. So it kind of got stuck between two stools, that withdrawal agreement. And people think, like, the withdrawal agreement, the withdrawal agreement, that was it, the end of it. That's only the beginning of it. That's only like something that's put in place to soften the transition. The then will be like all the things of renegotiating a new trade agreement with the EU. And I think you kind of got to have one as a trading nation doing the majority of its trade with its nearest neighbours. You've got to have one.
Yeah.
You know, Fortress Britain is pure comic book fantasy.
Yeah.
The whole kind of economic life of the country depends on its trading relation, and the biggest proportion of that is with its nearest neighbour. So there's got to be something. But it can be a whole range of things. Now, at the time of the referendum, even though the Article 50, which is the methodology for a country to leave the EU, to extract itself from its treaty obligations, doesn't really talk about a variety of agreements. As far as that's concerned, it is actually really like no deal. That's all it deals with. And so technically people saying, oh well, we did vote for no deal. Well, the five people who read Article 50, yeah, which is a fun read, I have to tell you, maybe knew what they were doing, but nobody else did. And the actual Leave campaign, you can just see it over and over again. You can check all this stuff out on the internet. What were they saying? They were saying, oh well, obviously we're not going to just crash out and take a huge economic hit. We're going to do it gently. We're going to have some. We'll work out a system for leaving in a harmonious and smooth fashion. And they were saying that even Farage, Mr. Arch Leaver, founder of UKIP, even he was saying, oh, we'll have it like a Norway or Norway plus plus and this. And you can go and find him on YouTube saying it over and over again. So the public, as far as the public were concerned, it can't be expected to read through all this stuff. I mean, I'm retired, I've got time to do this. I'm highly trained in studying and reading difficult shit, you know. And so Joe Public's not going to do it. If I'm finding it, you know, burdensome, they're not going to even bother. They're going to rely on the Daily Mail, yeah. You know. And that's how you get stuff like Leave means Leave. Mrs. May, that was her slogan, you know, Brexit means Brexit. Because she was looking for something fairly hard, you know, because, you know, there's a whole faction of British capital, and in fact global capital, that wants to remove protections. I mean, the whole of neoliberalism is to deregulate capitalism, particularly finance capital, but the whole of capitalism. And they believe that things like workers' protection and environmental protection are now business of governments, and they shouldn't be there. It should just be like this predatory free trade. Just, you know, free for all. So, I mean, the Labour Party, for their part, I mean, they initially they were saying, well, we've got to honour, we should honour the referendum, should honour the referendum. And people like Yanis Varoufakis were saying, honour the referendum. Don't even go for a second one, it's going to be too divisive, too politically disruptive. And you could say, they say, oh, we'll honour the referendum. But they kind of put different red lines forward for a WA, for a withdrawal agreement. And they wanted what is called a soft Brexit, which would keep workers' protections, basically. Now, as a Labour Party, they're going to be interested in workers not getting screwed over by massive deregulation of their kind of health and safety, their holidays, their working time directives, all this stuff that actually looks after the well-being of workers. And I think the same thing would apply to environmental protections. So they wanted this soft Brexit in which there would be the UK would stay in the customs union. That, of course, would mean no hard border in Northern Ireland. So no need for a backstop, you know. But obviously, to be in the customs agreement, you have to have some kind of regulatory alignment. So they said, OK, we will shadow the regulatory things. But then, of course, people wanting the free traders, the neoliberal free traders, are going to turn around and say, too much regulation, it's not really leaving. So they call that Bryner, right? Which means Brexit in name only. You know, because there was still like this fairly close relationship with the EU. Now, I'm not shilling for any version of it at this point. I mean, I would if you asked me, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to show that Brexit doesn't mean Brexit.
No.
The implication of that tautology, that there is only one meaning to the term, is just wrong. It names a whole range of possibilities. And if they didn't sloganise, they can only, you know, the slogan is, for a hard no-deal Brexit, for a kind of neoliberal wet dream, have to conceal the real meaning, the real possibilities, with a stupid tautological slogan. Because if they actually plainly said what was meant, it would be apparent to everybody that there's a whole range of possibilities that need to be worked out, negotiated and all the rest of it. And there's no way out of it. And there's nobody else to do it except Parliament. Anyway, that's me on that. It's bollocks. Leave means leave. It's bollocks.
Well, we're just up here discovering where all the springs are. So when the no deal Brexit happens, and obviously the following apocalypse, at least we'll have some water to drink.
Yeah, well, it's Wales, there's plenty of it.
Yeah.
I mean, just like we're walking along this track, along the side of a hill, and there's just a little stream just crossing the path, as you can hear it, and the water looks absolutely...
It's crystal clear, isn't it?
Pristine, yeah.
Yeah.
It springs out the hill just up there.
Yeah.
There's an Iron Age hill fort round here somewhere, in this back in here somewhere, according to the map. I haven't found it yet. Anyway,
it's a lovely day again, so I wish you were here.
Yeah, you can't believe how astonishingly beautiful this place that we stand in. We are very lucky, we know that.
Yeah,
and it's
stunning.
Yeah. I hope that when you all retire, you're not like 75 or 80 and too knackered to come and enjoy your retirement, you know. And the world is wealthy enough for people to live to a ripe old age and enjoy some years at the end of their lives, musing, meditating, wondering about, mellowing out, you know, and... I think we ordinary people have just got to start getting a little bit stroppy about stuff like that.
Yeah, like a bit of equality would be good.
Yeah.
Anyway, hope you're having a good day, and we'll speak to you soon.
Thanks for listening.